from TSN 1050. Scott MacArthur joins us. Scott, can you put a finger on like how the Jays went from just playing great ball to then boom, all of a sudden it started, I guess, going back to June 7th, and they haven't been able to turn it around since.
Yeah, it's a really confounding thing. I mean, there are a few factors, but I'm not sure any of them sufficiently explain how far the other way it's gone. They're injured, and by that I mean the obvious. Edwin Encarnacion is out of the lineup, although that's only been for a few days. Brent Laurie, that's been for a couple of weeks now, and the problems did start before that. But Jose Bautista is playing hurt with the hamstring. Adam Lind is playing hurt with that bruised foot after fouling a ball off his right foot in Baltimore about 3 weeks ago. And so I think that you've got a bunch of guys who are just either on the disabled list or trying to grind it out. Jose Reyes is having a bad season, certainly defensively, and not a particularly impressive one offensively. Melky Cabrera has regressed a little bit, although that was to be expected because he got off to such a great start. And do not underestimate, guys. Don't go to the stats page and look at his on-base percentage, because that does not tell the story. Do not underestimate how badly the Blue Jays miss Brett Laurie. And I'm not just talking about offense. I'm talking about defense at either second or third base.
Yep.
Because everybody loves Munenori Kawasaki, but he is not Brett Laurie at second base. And Juan Francisco is an all-or-nothing guy who's been doing a lot more of nothing than all. And by that, I mean striking out, not hitting many home runs. And he's not a very good defensive third baseman. And what we're finding out is that there is just not a lot of organizational depth. They have some upper-tier pitching prospects. We've seen Stroman. We know that Aaron Sanchez is close. But they do not have position players who can come up from the minor leagues who are prospects any higher than single A. They're not ready yet. And what you're seeing is they're going to the waiver wire hoping that they can fill gaps when guys get hurt.
Scott, was that something that Anthopoulos admitted was a weakness in his organization before the season started?
What's that?
The lack of depth in the organization as far as position players.
Well, I think he felt that they had some depth pitching-wise, and we're realizing that in some ways that is true. But I don't really think that he was overt about it, but anybody who looked could see that if Laurie got hurt, Reyes got hurt, if Goins didn't work out at second base, they were going to have to get creative to try to plug those gaps. And you bring up a guy like Jonathan Diaz, and he gives you a good couple of weeks. He gets the odd hit, plays a plus defense at short, but then you realize that he is the very best utility player and probably is what he is, which is a triple-A player, and that's where he is right now. Juan Francisco, well, you know, as exciting as he was, hitting 8 or 9 home runs in his first 3-4 weeks as a Blue Jay, he has regressed considerably, and now you're starting to see the reason why the Milwaukee Brewers cut him loose rather than paying him $1.85 million to stay in their uniform this year, doing that in the final week of spring training. It's one of those things where they traded some positional prospects as part of those packages to get both R.A. Dickey out of New York and Burley and Reyes and Johnson and from the Miami Marlins. And now they really don't have guys who can come up and backfill. They are not a deep organization positionally.
Scott MacArthur from TSN 1050 joins us. So, Scott, what's the option here? I guess just try to patchwork this team together, hope that some guys get a little bit of a rest around the All-Star break and maybe come back healthy? Or do you think this team can stay in the hunt?
Well, I think it can stay in the hunt because I just don't see anybody running away with the division. I like the Baltimore Orioles, but I see a lot of the Blue Jays in the Orioles, and I think it's important not to lose perspective on the way that they've played of late. They have been playing very well, winning a lot of games, but keep in mind they swept the Texas Rangers in 4 games last week in Baltimore. The Rangers are beyond decimated by injuries, and so they've been rendered essentially a shell of their former selves, or even the selves they expected to be in that final game on the Thursday night. There was some inclement weather around Baltimore. They did end up playing the game, but the Rangers decided to push Yu Darvish back to their Friday night game because they didn't want him to pitch for a couple of innings, then it'd have the skies open up, and then they've wasted him for another 5 days. So the Orioles miss Darvish. Then they go to Fenway, and they play a bad and injured Red Sox team. And so they've been beating some of the lesser lights, as you should do. But I see Baltimore just kind of hanging around. We'll see what they do toward the trade deadline, if they can bolster their team. But they're not far and away better than the Blue Jays. They just happen to be playing better right now. The problem for Toronto is they've got to find a way, scratch, claw, pray, whatever the case may be, find a way to tread some water over these final five games of this road trip. They're 0-5 so far. I can't see them going 3-2. So they're looking at maybe a 1-9 or a 2-8 road trip here, but they've got to hope that the Orioles lose a couple of games. They're able to tread some water. They get into the break, clear their heads a little bit, come back, and maybe Encarnacion is close to returning at that point. Brett Laurie might only be a week or two away by that point. They're pitching well enough as it is. I mean, they're not dominating on the mound every night, but they're pitching well enough that it tells you that if the offense, you know, we were talking back in May about the offense regressing to the mean. I don't know what the counter to that is. If the offense progresses back to the mean, then they should be able to win some games. I think it's far too early to throw in the towel, but there are obviously very worrying signs.
Scott MacArthur joins us. Scott, I guess looking at the positive is the young pitchers, specifically Stroman. I know there was a lot of people there that, is he ready? He's shown that he's ready.
He has, and there is only one team that he's faced more than once, and that's the New York Yankees. And in saying that, he was much better against them the second time in the home start than he was the week prior at Yankee Stadium. And so that tells you that there were some adjustments made. And the kid seems to have certainly a confidence. Some would call it a cockiness. I think it's just an overt confidence. But also he's got a good approach. He's able to make some adjustments. We'll see how he fares as the league begins to see him. More teams begin to see him for a second time. But I know that John Gibbons and Pete Walker and others are pleasantly surprised. It's not that they didn't think he was going to be able to come up and contribute and be a positive factor for this team, but I think they've been blown away, especially by his last three starts. 8 innings of one-run ball against the Yankees, 6 2/3 innings of two-run ball against the White Sox, but those two runs were the inherited runners that Dustin McGowan allowed to score on that home run he gave up to Dyan Vicieto. And then Stroman pitches so well in his last start. He's only been on the, when he's been on the mound, physically on the mound, he's allowed one earned run in his last three starts. I mean, he's been absolutely terrific. So there's that. Burley, he's not one of the young guys you're talking about, but Burley, winless in six straight starts, five losses to his personal record in that span. But four of the six starts have been quality starts. The team has scored 9 runs for him in his last six starts. That's just not going to get it done. And so you're seeing, Hutchinson kind of be up and down, but I think they believe in him. They're still in a lot of games. Very rarely is it that they get blown out because they're pitching okay. And that's why you just have to hold on to hope that the offense that was top 5, top 6, top 8 in so many of the big statistical categories is going to get healthy and find itself once again. The one disconcerting factor is that they rely on the home run for 45% of the runs that they score. That's a number that is way out of whack. Most teams are in the 30 to 37% range. Only 3 American League teams are north of 40, and the Blue Jays are at the head of that pack. And that's pretty worrying because when they're out here in Oakland or now here in Anaheim, these are not home run hitters' parks.
Yep.
And the ball gets knocked down, and they're just not they're not a station to station team. They don't get a lot of guys on base and move them along. It can be frustrating to watch. They rely so much on the long ball, and having Encarnacion and Laurie out certainly hurts in that area as well.
You mentioned earlier, Scott, the season's far from done because there's no team that's necessarily going to run away with it in the AL East. What do you see Anthopoulos doing? Because the Jays, outside of a few pitching prospects, they don't necessarily have a lot of guys who they could trade for to get immediate help and give away futures. Do you see them trading any roster players to try to get back what they need?
Well, I think they're open to doing whatever makes the team better if they're able to do it. What we can't necessarily get a firm handle on, guys, is how much wiggle room there is with money and the ability to take on salary, because remember, they had to pass a hat around to try to get Irvin Santana to come to Toronto in the middle of spring training, and that almost happened, save for the injury to Chris Medlin in Atlanta, and that changed Santana's mind, and he went to the National League. How much money, if any, can this team take on? And so if you wanted to add a salary or a prorated salary for the final 2 months of the season, that could be a challenge. Are there players that they would move out? Yeah, but, you know, you might have to get creative to do it. And are you making the team better if you do? I know that there is mutual frustration with Colby Rasmus. Some of the coaches with Rasmus with the organization. I don't think it's, you know, anything that's brimming and it's going to get brutally ugly here. But I think that they are a little bit at loggerheads. Could they move him? Well, that would get his salary off the books. Maybe they could take, money on in another direction. But are you getting weaker in center field if you trade Rasmus and you don't address it? The answer is probably yes. So I think at this point, you know, they're kind of stuck in a limbo, a couple of different types of limbo. How do you balance going for it now with preserving your future, that is your top prospects, without having to trade them? And is there any wiggle room with the salary? Is ownership going to be willing, after watching a 21 out of 30 stretch here where they've lost 21 of 30 games, is ownership going to be willing to open up the coffers? I think that's a legitimate question at this point. And to this point, and until we see something that suggests otherwise, there's no reason to believe it will.
Scott, great rundown. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the trip. Thanks for your time.
Okay, boys. Thank you.